Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Three time it is, as usual, we head to the drink desk and Stephen Thrillhill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we toast, well, a feature headline coming up with Mike, 25-year-old Philip Paul of Surrey, England. Philip is a drug dealer, and he recently got his hands on some weed, some heroin, and some crack. But to let his customers know that he had a fresh stash, he sent out a bulk text detailing what he had for sale. However, when sending out the bulk text, he typed one digit wrong, and that particular incorrect number belonged to a police officer.
Hey.
And as you might imagine, Philip was promptly arrested, but even better, when cops confiscated his phone, they found the number of messages from the users requesting to buy the drugs. And they have been arrested as well.
Yeah. Man.
Yay, Philip. Thank you for getting me arrested, you dumb son of a bitch.
So he texted a cop?
He did a bulk text.
All right.
And most people, if you're going to do a bulk text, you have the names in your phone. So if I'm going to send it to, right?
Right, like
Ted,
like Thanksgiving
Miles,
next week.
Mike, I send out a bulk text. This guy's putting it in by number and putting in one wrong digit. And that one wrong digit happened to go to a cop's phone advertising his drug.
To a degree, you can't blame him that he's doing it by number. It's not like you want these numbers saved in your phone.
Well, how else does he have the number?
Yeah, maybe he's got a great memory.
Yeah, but that one Android phone ruined the entire group text.
Yeah.
It's green, damn it.
What was he selling?
Crack.
He had weed, he had crack cocaine, he had heroin. I think he was only advertising the crack, but when they arrested him, he also had heroin and weed on. It was all bad. Not a good day for our friend Philip, who's an idiot.
Bad time.
So we pour this booze, and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy.
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitch, hola.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Yeah,
and today, a battle of Thanksgiving side dishes on a Bad Choice Friday. The Tunes, D.D. Sharp, and Mashed Potato Time taking on the Hungry Food Band and Green Beans. Mike, how's the voting?
You know exactly how the voting was, Miles. It is the greatest side dish on your Thanksgiving table and also the lesser of two evils, I do declare, some Hungry Food Band on Bad Choice Friday.
Here's your winner. Welcome to the weekend. You are listening to Men's Room, 99.9 KISW, Seattle.
99.9 KISW. We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Now for all TV news all the time, it's time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
Your choices today. You got Seth Meyers, the Jimmys,
Fallon and Kimmel,
Colbert, or Ted Smith.
Is it Ted or is it Lane?
It is right there. The title is Guys Got Talent. The team's writers help them come up with their monologues each and every night. It is up to you to determine, is this an actual late night joke and from whom, or could it be a V. Ted Smith original?
The FBI launched an investigation into the burglaries of Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes and tight end Travis Kelce. But how else were we supposed to get a ring, said the Jaguars?
V. Ted Smith.
Yes.
Seth Meyers.
The FBI launched an investigation into recent burglaries on the homes of Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes and tight end Travis Kelce. But how else are we supposed to get a ring, said the Jaguars.
I'm surprised you didn't go for the Jets on that one.
Jesus. New York football sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, man. You know, I mean, they both, like, the only team with a longer drought, I think, than the Giants for the playoffs is the Jets.
I think you're right. Congratulations, New York.
This is crazy, but the U.S. government is looking to protect the world's tallest land animal under the Endangered Species Act, the giraffe. And the giraffes have responded by thanking the USA for sticking their necks out.
V. Ted Smith.
Yes.
Yes,
man. All right. How's it going? How's it going? Though? How's it going?
Yeah. Yeah. How's it going? The northern giraffe. Should be a massive weekend at the movie since Gladiator 2 is out. It's directed by Ridley Scott, who's about to turn 87. During the filming, Ridley will yell action, and that was just after standing at the urinal for 3 minutes.
Colbert.
Myers.
Fallon.
Well, it's going to be a massive weekend at the movie theaters because Gladiator 2 is out. It's directed by Ridley Scott, who is about to turn 87. During the filming, Ridley would yell action, and that was just after standing for 3 minutes at the urinal.
Wow. I know Jimmy Fallon, prostate jokes.
Yeah, usually he doesn't.
Yeah. He didn't go back there.
Hey-o.
The Pope announced the very first millennial saint for the Catholic Church. What was his miracle? Did he make coffee at home?
Seth Meyers.
Fallon?
Seth Meyers.
Francis announced the Catholic Church's first ever millennial saint. Millennial saint? What was his miracle? Did he make his own coffee at home?
I guess. I don't know. Seems like a rough one. Let's see. Last night, watched a couple things. I was telling Mike I was pretty fired up. I started a new series on Netflix, right? Now, it's a docuseries.
All right.
But it's called Wyatt Earp and the Cowboy War.
You love docuseries. That's one of your, like, I know you like the gangster stuff, sports stuff, but like, I've noticed in the last, like, year, like, docuseries specifically, they suck you in.
They do. Right? Because I enjoy seeing it how, like, it was supposed to happen.
Right.
But I also, I like this one. The issue is, I'm looking at this article now, like, this one kind of has a different turn, because they're trying to tell you what the real story was of, like, Wyatt Earp and all
Tombstone
this
stuff. Tombstone and all that stuff.
Yeah, so it's kind of crazy is that, like, the O.K. Corral, like, when you watch Tombstone, that's, like, the finale.
Right.
Right? But then this series is kind of showing, and it is, look, it's the most famous shootout in all of the West. You know what I mean? This series kind of shows you how, like, the O.K. Corral basically is the start.
Okay.
And they have that shootout down there. The Earp brothers do not want to get involved. There is a sheriff in Tombstone, Yeah, there's a sheriff at Tombstone, but he doesn't really do anything, and it's an elected position, right? So he, whenever there's trouble, the Earp brothers are the marshals, so he's like, they'll take care of it. But the big issue is that, you got to remember, this is the 1880s, right? The Civil War has ended in the 1860s, but we have spent a lot of money, and we have borrowed a lot of money from Europe. So now we have to pay it back, which I know will blow people's minds, but when countries are at war, sometimes you need to borrow money from other countries, right? So you can get your own supplies and everything. So we owe a lot of money back. We can't quite figure it out. And some names show up. Like, at this point, the only way to get stuff back from the West, right, is these two guys. One's last name is Wells. The other's last name is Fargo. They combined.
That's why they have the stagecoach then on the logo for Wells Fargo Bank.
Correct.
That I did not know that.
Yeah. So when the Wells Fargo stagecoach shows up, it's a massive deal. Also, out in Arizona, they find all this silver. So Another guy who's super famous and that you'll recognize his name, he's over in England, right? And he's trying to drum up money because he wants to buy the American railroads that are kind of failing. I mean, look, the country's in a bad spot.
Yeah.
Right? So he's over there with the King of England, and then the European richest guy, which is Rothschild, and that guy's name is J.P. Morgan.
Uh-huh.
So J.P. Morgan is like, hey, and they're like, if we do this for you, if we give you some money to go buy the railroads, how are you going to back it? And he's like, now we can't back it with gold right now. We can back it with silver. So you have this, the Cowboys, that is the real name of that gang in Tombstone. Yeah. Well, they decide they're going to go rob one of the Wells Fargo stagecoaches, which originally I'm like, why is that such a big deal? But it sends shockwaves. The telegraph is working. Right?
So
Marconi's already been out there to Cape Cod. So he's sending messages over to Europe. And the English are kind of like, listen, man, you guys can't even protect it when it's coming out of Tombstone. Like, you haven't caught anybody, right? The Cowboys are smart. The guy that actually did it and planned it, who wasn't okayed by the top brass in the gang, they just kill him. Right?
Bam.
So now it's like, what are you going to do? So the Earps are like, well, people are going to keep robbing them if nobody got arrested. So they're in it's just fascinating. I never thought about the Old West affecting like us staying together as a country and like all the way over to Europe.
But it's never really been depicted that way. You know, everything we've seen is just the Wild West. Yeah, they went there to get property. Yeah, they went there to get gold. People shot each other and it was loose. And that's the way it's always been presented.
Right. And whenever you had these gold rushes or these silver rushes or any of this stuff, like it is the American dream, right? You're working at a factory in Boston, New York, or Philly, and you hear, you know, that's the, you know, there's gold in them dare hills.
Right.
You hear that, it's like, well, screw it. I'm going to risk my life and go out there. Maybe I could find some of this gold. I'm tired of working for this crappy wage. So, I mean, you figure how these towns boom up. But the other crazy thing is, like, Tombstone is sophisticated, right? Like, they have a theater. People care.
Okay.
So, anyhow, they finally get to the OK Corral. I also didn't realize that Doc Holliday, who was actual doctor, he was a dentist, gets tuberculosis. His doctor goes, you got to go west, and whiskey will help with the pain. Yeah. So he just drank whiskey all the time. Right?
Doc.
He did call it his medicine, but at a certain point, it's like, he's just drinking to drink.
So it's kind of like the original Oxy. You get rid of the pain, then you get addicted to Oxys, and now it's a whole different thing.
So you know all this stuff. Also, Doc Holliday was a really good shot, apparently, no matter how hammered he got. So in Dodge City, Wyatt Earp's about to get killed. Doc Holliday doesn't know who he is. He's just hammered off his ass, and it's like, oh, those guys are surrounding him. That's not fair. And he saves Wyatt Earp's skin, saves him. So when they get to Tombstone, Doc's there. So that's how he ends up at the OK Corral. They're like, give him a shotgun. The other brothers who don't really like Doc, like, he's hammered. He's like, trust me.
Right.
Right. Here's another crazy fact. Tombstone is so sophisticated with their arts and their cultures that they have this doctor out there. I forget his name, but he's like the leading surgeon and physician. So when Virgil Earp gets shot in the leg, used to be a death sentence, or they saw off your leg.
Right.
This doctor managed to save his leg and clean the wound and everything. Do you know why, Miles?
Vodka.
He washed his hands. Doctors weren't washing their hands back then.
Damn.
So when they would reach in to get bullets and stuff,
you're infecting them.
People are getting infections. This guy was the first to be like, I think we should wash our hands before we go into surgery.
I'll be damned.
It's insanity to think about.
Right, because now, I mean, they scrub up to the elbow. I think it has to be at least 90 seconds or 2 minutes.
There's a timer on the NICU and the PICU. I know that.
Yeah, so he's like a leading physician in the world because he was simply smart enough to go, well, I'm putting my hand inside Thrill's body. Maybe I should clean my hands
first. It should be clean.
It's a really good story. And it is cool to see the Wells Fargo thing together. Miles, I'm with you. I knew they had something to do with stagecoaches. And then later on, they were kind of famous for showing up in towns with Christmas gifts and this and that.
Okay, all right.
I'm only on part two. I got to keep watching it. But pretty interesting stuff. And then you're right. You know, it's like, I don't know. We were talking to somebody the other day. Like, to me, it's like, look, if I'm not watching sports, even with the gangster stuff, like, you can always kind of learn stuff along the way.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. And also, man, in this country, as much as stuff changes, it's kind of the same.
History
right?
repeats itself.
Like, the sheriff in Tombstone, again, an elected position. So, like, he always kind of let the Cowboys do their thing. Right. Also, the Cowboys, screw Dallas Cowboys. The way we think of Cowboys now is like, you know, they're men.
Yeah.
They saved the West. Completely wrong. That gang was the Cowboys. They were goddamn cattle rustlers. They were not good people. They were like the scur or whatever you call it.
Scourge?
Scourge yeah. of the area out there.
And then episode 3 gets into the frozen pizza world.
Tombstone?
Yeah, yeah. Tombstone. When I...
You're not going to believe this.
Because it's the doctor
it's
said,
not just a name.
Put the pizza on ice if we can't cook it right now.
Yeah.
Then he realized when they cooked it at home later, mm-hmm. this is fantastic. Tombstone pizza.
Then they traded that recipe over to Europe. Red Baron, World War I.
I also think it's wild that, like, and I know when you look 100 years later, technology always seems ancient.
Sure.
But it's just like, man, those people back then with the gold rush or any of that stuff, it's like, man, they had balls of.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, that was gutsy moving out there and doing that stuff.
Yes.
And like I'm saying, Tombstone was the nicest of the towns. As they were saying, they're like, everybody has this idea of it being the crazy Wild West. It's like, this wasn't up in Montana. No offense to Montana and stuff. Right. Like, they were like, this was actually like a sophisticated town. It had a theater.
Huh.
That's how you know something's going on. All right, let's see. Anybody have a dysfunctional family? Got to meet them up for the holidays?
If you got a family.
I'm avoiding that.
You got a dysfunctional one. Yeah.
I'm with you. There's always somebody strange there.
There is dysfunction in your family. You might be used to it, but if there's any family member that you have to warn your friends about or your future spouse about, like, then you have a dysfunctional family.
You don't see it as much anymore, but I remember going to somebody's, it was either a Thanksgiving or Christmas. And I was like, and the family, I knew, you know, nothing crazy. Everybody seemed pretty normal. And then I'm like, hey, where's your cousin? And they're like, he just kind of stays out in the garage.
He's at the house, but he stays out in the garage.
Yeah. And I'm like, you keep a cousin in the garage? Like, what is going on?
You don't have a garage cousin?
Yeah. And he's just zonked down on the couch on pain pills and stuff. I was like, oh, I see.
Uh-huh.
You have to invite him. But basically, you know, an hour into it, he's going to be on another planet. So it's like, sit him in the garage.
Yeah.
There was heat on. So.
Oh, good.
These are 10 Thanksgiving movies about other dysfunctional families that might make you feel better about yourself. Let's see if anybody's seen one of these. 1997, The House of Yes.
The House of Yes. No.
Nope.
Nope. Yeah.
Nope.
2003, Pieces of April.
No.
This is actually a sick, sick, dark movie.
The Ninja Turtles
about
turned on.
Yes. Serial killer.
Yeah. About yeah. Donatello, Leonardo,
they
Michelangelo,
broke out their weapons,
and Raphael.
What they did to April.
Yeah, they ripped her apart, man.
2000, What's Cooking?
That's the name of it?
Well, what's cooking you?
Well, yeah. No, haven't seen that one.
I do declare.
Turkey?
What's cooking? 1976, Rocky.
Yep.
That's a Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah, so you don't think of it that way.
No.
Because there hasn't been a bunch of idiots being like, Die Hard's a Christmas movie. Rocky does take place around the Thanksgiving holiday.
Huh. I never realized that.
2013, Prisoners.
I didn't see that.
All right. One, I know. You know what? Yeah, I'll just bring it up. Miles, I know me and you love this movie. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
That is a classic.
Yep.
If you're looking for a couple good yucks, that's good.
But is that a dysfunctional family, or do we just feel bad for Dell?
You just feel bad
because
for
his family is dysfunctional. His wife passed on. He's by himself. He's lonely. He's on a train. Eventually, he ends up going to Steve Martin's house for Thanksgiving.
But I don't know that I would call somebody's family dysfunctional because
they're
their
dead.
Spouse passed away. I'd feel bad.
I understand that. I'm just saying it's just,
all right.
It's one of those movies where, you know.
Makes for an awkward Thanksgiving.
Well, you're bringing somebody home and they don't know.
Let's
shower curtain ring guy.
You're right, but I'm just saying, like, to me, that's a nice part of that movie you forget is that, like, he does end up feeling bad and, like, you know, they form a little friendship and he goes to hang out with his family.
I could sit in insurance conventions for days.
That is a funny movie too. How do they know which way we're going? Let's see. Number 4, Home for the Holidays. That's from 1995. The Humans, 2021.
The Humans. Wow.
2023, Thanksgiving, and then this one, 1993. Again, this is a very big stretch. The Addams Family Values.
Is that a Thanksgiving
movie? Because Wednesday was at a Thanksgiving play at the summer camp.
Gee, so yeah, that you're stretching that one a little bit.
Yeah, that I don't think that one really counts. I don't think anybody cares. Do you guys care that Ellen and her wife are moving to London?
No, not at all.
No,
yeah, they're moving to London.
Wouldn't have known if they hadn't said anything.
I'm sure they've already have a house there.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, isn't Ellen like a real estate magnet around the world?
I don't know. Is she one of those?
Well, I mean, you have that much money, Mike. I'm with you. There's a lot of celebrities that have lived overseas for years that you don't know about.
They don't bring it up.
George Clooney lived in Italy.
Well, I know that one. Lake Cuomo.
Oh, that's right.
Tuscany. Beautiful.
We will rebuild.
All right. But I mean, like, Johnny Depp lived in France for a year.
Right. The thing with him, do you think he even knew?
I don't know.
It's like he could wake up anywhere and just go about his day and not give it any thought.
Sipping those mega pints.
Just where can I get wine?
Yeah. Where would you guys move if you left the country?
Oh, God.
I mean, it's hard to know. Like, I love Mazatlan of Mexico, but I know I like it there. But there's other places I haven't checked out yet. I liked Malta when I went there. Barcelona was cool when I went there. Place in France, I can't remember the name. Marseille? Yeah, Marseille. Awesome town. Yeah. But I don't know. The problem is I don't speak any of the languages, so I probably just have to go to Australia or Canada.
I'm with you.
I just know I would not learn the language.
I think if you live somewhere long enough, you just pick up enough slang. I mean, look, when you go down to Mazatlan, right, how many expats do you talk to that don't speak Spanish? But
every single one of them says, man, within 3 months after moving somewhere, if everyone's speaking Spanish, you just pick it up because it's all context.
Correct.
Like you kind of, actually, the first time we went to Mexico, I went down to the wife went to sleep. I went to the hotel bar, met this guy, Miguel, still friends with him to this day. We talked for 3 hours. And when I told my wife, she said, how did you guys talk for 3 hours? Because he doesn't understand most English. You don't understand most Spanish. I said, I have no idea, but at some point you forgot that you're not speaking the same language. But I know that his wife, Maria, has a family dinner every single Sunday. We are invited. I know that he was a paratrooper in the Mexican army, even though he's scared of heights. But he finally got over it. And then turned on my wife.
Bad job choice.
A lot more fluent in Spanish than I am. But she spoke all of it was true. And she goes, how do you know? I said, I honestly do not know.
You guys broke the reality plane, man.
Something happens, especially when you're just one-on-one. And like you're just talking to get to know each other. And somehow I knew all of this about him, and I know he said it all in Spanish.
I mean, when I disappeared at lunch in that small town in Germany at brunch, and I came back in, that guy didn't speak, I mean, not a lick of English, but I know he likes to fish in Harley Davidson's.
That's what I mean. Like, somehow, you still have a conversation.
All right, let's see. I've said it a bunch just because I am sad. Tomorrow is the last full slate of college football days. The Washington Huskies, they're off. The Pac-2 championship game, though,
Pac-2.
4 p.m. Washington State Cougars at Oregon State Beavers. Miles, I'm sure you have a joke. I'm going to keep moving along.
Okay.
All right, 9 a.m.
No, actually, it was Taryn that had the joke this morning.
Yeah, sure.
What'd she say?
Well, I can't tell it on the air.
Right. Okay. What else? I know Indiana at Ohio State's a big game. I hope Indiana beats them. A few other big games on. You also have your Sounders down at LAFC. And then Sunday, man, Hawks are back at home. That's a 1:25 kickoff, I believe. This is Florida Division. Like, go out there.
Yeah, man.
Keep Kyler Murray. Throw a game controller at him. Like, get him confused.
Yeah, get a spy.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it. Turn list.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sing to the men's room.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's my car.
All right, our top story. We toasted this man for the shot of the day. However, it bears repeating. And just in case you missed it, we go to the UK, where a drug dealer made a critical error. He got himself a good supply and seemingly a good book of clientele as he was sending out a text to a potential customer regarding some crack cocaine that had come into his possession. But unfortunately for him, he messed up a single digit in the phone number and sent the text to the wrong person. Honest mistake, but problems got even worse when it was no ordinary person that he texted, but a local police officer. They were already aware of a drug line in the area, but the text helped them track down exactly where it was, leading officers to find not only crack cocaine, but also heroin, weed, and a whole lot of cash, as well as several texts from other numbers, all requesting drugs.
Oops.
He's now facing charges. Way to go there, big dude.
I feel... Yeah. I don't know. I feel like somebody just texted me randomly.
You want some drugs?
I would not respond to that.
No.
No.
Nobody would. Unless you're a specific cop. Right?
Yeah. And I'm sorry, that's karma that it was a cop that he texted.
Oh, absolutely.
That's just straight up universal karma right there.
And where was it again?
Surrey, England.
Yeah, Surrey, England.
Oh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of weird stuff happens up in Surrey.
Them Surreyans. In other news, we stay in the UK for the Father of the Year.
Uh-oh.
His son had recently gone through a breakup and was moping about the house, so he decided to try and cheer him up. They went downtown in London, and being the good father that he is, he offered the son some cocaine. But that didn't stop her. Rather, it didn't stop there. He also organized to have not one but two mid-20s prostitutes work their magic and raise the young man's spirits. But his ungrateful son rejected his offer. Now, before you think it's because his son is some kind of prude or holds himself to a higher standard over drugs and purchased affections, he had a simple sentence for his dad to turn him down. Quote, I'm effing 13.
Yeah.
Oh.
Regardless, his father pressed the issue, telling him not to be a pee. But this landed him in court, where he defended his actions, telling them that although he may not look like it to their standards, he's still a good father.
Are you sure?
The courts disagreed, and now he's been charged.
Can't believe they disagreed with that.
Right.
I tried to get my 13-year-old son some cocaine and some hookers.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm a good father.
Yeah, sounds like it.
You should have seen how sad he was. He got through a breakup.
Sounds like you wanted the cocaine and the hookers, and you didn't want to do it by yourself.
Yeah.
It's your job to be his buddy.
That's right. That's right. You know what? Coach him through it. Don't don't let the coaching be, you know, blocking. What it was running.
Hey, one of my friends goes through a terrible breakup. If I were to buy him cocaine and hookers, fine.
Sure.
I'm his friend.
Right.
Right.
You're his father.
And your son is 13.
Correct.
Yeah.
His role model. His leader in a way. His guide in life.
Yeah. Bright future for that kid.
Come on now. But just in case those stories left a bad taste in your mouth.
Thankfully, there's good news.
We go to Wisconsin, where a young man knew who to call. He, like many his age, was struggling with his homework. This particular bit he was working on was math, and it was rather challenging. But instead of getting the assistance that he needed from his folks, the 10-year-old decided to phone a friend, and who better than the easiest number to remember? No, it's not Cars for Kids, Pure Money Mart, Empire Flooring, neither of those. No. Even easier. 911. The operator answered the call to him, admitting that he knew that he wasn't supposed to call that number for such a small issue, but the operator still did her best to assist him.
I like that. And like, all right, what's the problem?
And only 9 people died while they tried to figure out long division. That's all I can think of. Like, I know I put that in my good news story. So they're like, man, you're tying up the 911 line with your doggone math problems. Yeah, it's a cutesy story. Great. Well, my grandpa needs to go to the hospital.
I wonder if the kid brought that up also. Oh, and also, yeah, my grandpa collapsed.
If you could send somebody, that'd be great.
Doug.
Men's room sports, there's college ball on Fox and FS1, hockey on NHL, basketball on ESPN, and a whole slate of college hoops on the ESPN affiliates, CBS Sports, and Big Ten. Tomorrow, college football all day long tomorrow.
Let's go.
Ted posted up. He's got all the stuff. He's ready to rock and roll. It's going to be on the ESPNs, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, FS1, and Big Ten. No Huskies this weekend. Cougars play the Beavers on CW at 4. Your Sounders play LAFC at 7:30 on Apple TV+. The F1 Las Vegas Grand Prix is on ESPN at 10 p.m. Saturday night.
Good call, Mike. I forgot about that. I got a little Saturday night plan.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And your Seattle Kraken are in L.A. against the Kings on Kong and Amazon at 1 p.m. Some news on the Kraken that I did see. Captain Jordan Eberle underwent surgery on his pelvis, and he should be out for like 3 months.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did he crack it?
I'm not sure. I didn't see the extent of the injury. I just saw the update that was like, you know, his pelvis got worked on.
None of
like,
that stuff.
Yeah, we don't mess around with that. Then on Sunday, the Arizona Cardinals come here into Seattle to take on your Seattle Seahawks. That game at 125 over on Fox. As far as your weather, looking at clouds and rain moving in and out with temperatures ranging somewhere between the 40s all weekend long. Enjoy that. That's it for your headlines. With that, have a great weekend. Mike Hawk is up.
Yeah, man, be safe out there. The lovely Jolene is coming up next.
Yes, indeed. It's all true. But in the meantime, we be all about this bitch. So until next time, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.